Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting The Instance. You probably don't think much about internet privacy on your own home network. ExpressVPN will secure your privacy and protect your information. Visit expressvpn.com/wow and get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package.
War Chief, if I may offer a few words, it is with both pain and pride that we gather here today. You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is episode 601 for May 12th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson with Garrett Weinzierl in Florida. Garrett, hello.
Is there a metal band called Warchief? Because that intro just made me think that we were a metal band named Warchief about to go out on stage, and we found this cool quote from a movie that we played right before you go on stage to hype everybody up.
Yeah, hey, Warchief. And then y'all get in a circle, like one of those Madonna prayer circle things. And
yeah, but yeah. Instead I'm sitting here talking very, you know, calmly and trying to keep my my voice registration low for the sake of the listening audience.
Exactly.
Instead of being like, how are you doing?
There you go. Screamo. Oh, the guys that sing like that are my least favorite. Hey, it's also Patrick Beja all the way in Helsinki, Finland, or parts thereof. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how is it going?
Good.
I am so tired.
I'll bet you are. Listen, if I had your life where I had a beautiful view of trees and vast wilderness just outside my window, I'd just be tired all the time. How tiring that must be.
Well, when you put it like that.
Just kidding. Hey, look, fatherhood is busy. We're all crammed into tight spaces right now, but how's the boy doing in all this? Is he all right? Is he hanging in there?
He's great. He grew like 3 centimeters since the beginning of the lockdown.
Whoa.
Which is like a couple of inches. Almost. Not quite.
Yeah.
He speaks so much better. He's still annoying as ducks, but... He's amazing.
Well, 3 centimeters would be just over an inch.
Yeah, just over an inch here.
No,
in the,
3 centimeters. An inch is a centimeter and a half, I think. So
three centimeters, according to Google, is 1.1811 inch.
That sounds right. But it's okay. Don't worry. We like your European space points to the point that everything I make, I use metric. So it's good. It's all good. Okay. You won't hear me.
I use metric too because I like units of 10 and not 12.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So yeah, he's maybe a little bit under an inch actually in the past 2 months, but he's lovely. He's amazing. Mm. Also, in other news, I got access to the beta after all.
Oh my gosh.
So thank you, friends at Blizzard.
Beta, you're ahead of us with the alpha.
Weird. Nice they said.
Well, listen, it's just a matter of nomenclature because Blizzard alphas are really betas for everyone else. So I think it's fair to call them.
And Call of Duty Modern Warfare is an alpha compared to Blizzard's betas, but it's a launch product.
That's right. That's how it works.
Go Call of Duty. I can't stop playing you, but you're a buggy piece of crap.
Yeah, even your parent company can't seem to release things in as polished a format as Blizzard is known to. But that's good, Patrick. Have you done anything in there yet that you're like, oh man, I can't wait to tell the guys about this on the show?
It depends. Are we doing the news section yet, or do you want to?
Well, I mean, there's not really much news in the realm of the alpha. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure, you know, one of my buddies over at Blizzard that it pushed the Patrick button. Mm. They said to me, they're like, well, nothing's really going on in the alpha right now. I guess we'll let the rabble in.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and let. I think that was the sign. Yeah, so well done, Patrick. You're rabble number
one.
Thank
you. Listen. I might be rabble, but I'm rabble with access to the alpha.
That's right. I didn't mean to stop that. All right, so now it's official. You can tell us about your time in there. What did you
excellent.
What did you think so far?
So, a couple of things. First of all, I went to Torghast, the Tower of the Damned, and I played just a little bit. I didn't have to, because something that I didn't realize when everyone was talking about it, it's a pretty long experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I got interrupted by the aforementioned adorable little baby. I did like 3-4 floors. It was fine, but I didn't have enough time to appreciate the brilliance of it.
Sure.
So, I guess my takeaway from that, yeah. I also played the new leveling, tutorial zone, which I have thoughts about on as well. But my takeaway on Torghast is, didn't realize it's like to do the 70 floors, it's like, what, an hour? Like, it's really long.
Yeah, no, it's huge. And, you know, not to mention, like you said, you didn't have a lot of time to do the repeated thing, but the repetition of it is interesting because of the different, what's it called? Manima? What is it? Anima.
Anima.
Anima. The anima powers, you know, it varies greatly between them. So you get that whole roguelike experience, and it's about the repetition, but it's also about the getting better, and eventually you get to the 70. But it's all going to be, you know, long form end game for everybody at the when that is relevant in the actual retail game. Did you like, though, like the on-ramping? Did you feel like it made sense? Did it immediately grab you and say, hey, here's a game type you're maybe a little familiar with and you're maybe going to spend a bunch of time in? Or were you kind of like, it's all right?
I mean, the thing is, I managed to play 3 floors each time. And everyone says that the real fun of it is when you get super overpowered. So I was definitely not super overpowered. Mm-hmm. And it felt fine. You know, it didn't feel super fun, but you can't judge that on just a few floors. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right? I agree. It still is the thing I'm the most excited about in this expansion. My only concerns are, I don't know just how they gate it. We talked about this at length before, so
yeah, we did.
The answer is they don't.
Yeah. Well, you look, your wishful thinking, I hope, has serious power, because I don't want them to do that. I want it to be a big open rad thing, especially, you know, maybe give me a nice little sort of, I don't know, on-ramp experience that's cool and makes sense story-wise and all that, and then I get in there and then I've done it, but now I can just do it. Let me do it anytime I want. Make it weekly for the big rewards. The rest of the time, give me gold.
I mean,
just let me do it whenever I want to play it. If it's that fun, if they can keep it, because so far I think it is. I think it has that kind of staying power, but time will tell. Till they launch the damn thing. All right. Garrett, any goings on for you in the alpha/beta/retail/anything?
I mean, not really. There hasn't been much in the way of updates to any WoW in the past week. So I've just been working on alts in the live game. Mm. Really enjoying my rogue. I fired up a mage. I've never had a mage before. Mages are fun.
Oh, yeah. Still liking the mage. I remember you mentioned that last week. That is good to hear.
Yeah.
Does it make you think that one day, I don't know, you'd mainline a mage, or is it not enough to do that?
I'm so in love with melee now in my later WoW years. If I was going to main a ranged, I'd go back to my OG main, which would be my hunter.
Yeah.
So I don't think so, but I do like it. It's fun. It's a fun experience, even at low levels. I mean, just like I mentioned last week, just like when you get blank, like, it's still fun. I remember people losing their mind in vanilla over getting blank, and it's like, it's still fun to unlock blank in the 15, 16, however many years later it is now.
Yeah. Turns out Patrick wasn't lying about the mage.
I've actually kind of stuck to my rogue a little more. I'm rather enjoying the rogue right now.
What spec? Just for so the world knows.
I'm doing subtlety. I was doing, what was it, Outlaw?
Mm.
Is that the other one, the pirate spec?
Yeah.
And it was just, it felt too good, if that makes any sense. I wanted my rogue to be a little clunky. I wanted to be going in and out of stealth and worrying more about, you know, shadow stepping or whatever the new ability is that just teleports you and attacks and does combo points. I'm enjoying that more. That to me is fulfilling my rogue fantasy more than being a pirate with a gun.
That's interesting. If the disrupted rhythm of subtlety is, because that's how I feel about the two different specs too, but I like the pirate one better, but I think I like it better for the opposite reason. You don't like it as much. Like, you feel like you need to have, I don't know, that's a weird thing. It is a rogue after all, right? Like, we're talking about class identity. Subtlety just feels more like a rogue than the pirate build does.
I mean, I'm sure anyone who's been listening to me on the show for any segment of time has come to the realizations that I don't want everything to be the way it used to be, but there are some things that I like the way they used to be.
Sure.
So Subtlety feels more like what I always imagined playing a rogue in World of Warcraft would be like, because for a longer period of time, that's kind of what it was like. Mm. And then Outlaw is like, it's almost too new and too cool. I kind of wanted a more janky MMO rogue experience. So I've been playing Subtlety and really enjoying it.
Nice. Well, that's good to hear. Patrick, did you, you had some thoughts on the questing experience, some of that early story stuff. What'd you think of that?
So I played, yeah, on the tutorial one. I didn't play through Bastion or Ravendreth.
Mm. You did the new island.
Like starting yeah.
The
Exile's Reach.
Yes. Mm. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think, again, it might have been oversold a little bit to me. Mm. It's very tight. It absolutely is a much better introduction to, you know, World of Warcraft for people who don't already know the game. Mm-hmm. And that is a very important and good thing. But it's not, you know, it's just imagine a simple quest chain that would take you an hour, that would be very progressive, very well done, very coherent, mm-hmm. and with a couple of minor fun twists, very minor. Mm. Because obviously you're learning the game. It's not like you're going to need, you know, you don't want to get a million tweaks on quest systems and things you won't understand. And that's it. So I don't know if I expected something more, but that's what it is. And it's cool, but it's going to be great for people who start the game for the first time.
Yeah, it's awesome. I agree with you. This, the streamlinedness of it is potentially, here's what I think will probably happen. Old school players are going to be a little grumpy about it because it is very streamlined. It is very like, you know, on rails a little bit. I mean, you still have to do stuff in it and achieve the various things you have to do in it to progress, but it's pretty much on rails. That being said, if you're playing modern WoW, I think it's a really good preparation for a lot of what WoW is now, which is, you know, especially with new expansions, you're going to be doing intro quests and story progression and cutscenes and, you know, that kind of on rails experience. I don't mean that in the negative way it's often used, but, you know, you're getting ready for that amusement park ride that you're about to get on. And this really does a good job of that, with some of the exceptions being, hey, this isn't done yet. These cinematics aren't in yet, you know.
Yeah, that plays a role into it as well, I think.
I have a feeling that stuff will be a lot more cohesive when there isn't a giant X on the screen saying not finished yet or whatever. So, you know, alpha is alpha, but
work in progress.
Yeah. But overall, what I really liked about it, and since you haven't been to Bastion yet, you probably won't be able to say much about this, but, and I talked about it last week, so sorry for repeating, but the environment of Exile's Reach blew me away. I think it's just really pretty and, you know, on par with some of the best work they've done visually with environments. Whereas Bastion felt like a big, weird, empty, I don't know, just it was too airy or something's going on there. There's just not a lot to look at or get too excited about. And so I was pleased about that as well, because, again, another nice introduction to the game would be for new players or people that are coming back from a long time is to be blown away a little bit visually by the environment. I think this does a good job of that. Anyway,
I like Bastion.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did play some Bastion. Tell me about that.
No, so I just walked through it to get to the Torghast NPC, which mm-hmm. I found very easily, by the way, Scott.
I know. I feel like an idiot. It was easy compared to how I explained. But I'm the worst.
I did need a website, but anyway. But what I walked through, I feel, okay, can I confess something to you guys?
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like this is not going to go over well in this community.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. We got your back, dude. You go for it. Whatever you got.
Okay, thank you. I did hate on gnomes last time, and that went surprisingly acceptably well, so I have hope.
Okay.
I'm not very into the goth vampire demons, skulls, spikes.
All right. Aesthetic. I'm out. I'm leaving.
Clearly, we've struck a chord there with Garrett. But I know where you're going with this. Keep going. You're not into that whole thing.
No, I'm not. I'm not. You know, not criticizing, but like, I'm not faulting anyone for liking it. but it feels like it is a very specific aesthetic that is mandatory to like to be a proper WoW player. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't like metal, you're kind of not really playing WoW properly, or you know what I mean? Like, when Ravendreth was announced, everyone was losing their mind over emo vampires, which felt extremely, I don't know, 80s teenagers, which is ironic because you're not an 80s teenager, Garrett.
But, hey, man, I grew up with the Lost Boys like every other red-blooded American, okay?
I guess so. But so,
I didn't see it until I was like 22. Yeah, but yeah,
still. But still, it had its effect on you.
Sure.
But I guess what I'm getting at, it's not just to hate on metal and AC/DC. It's more that actually Bastion and the quiet, tranquil environments of that place are a little bland, are a little boring. I understand why you would think that, but I thought they were pretty nice and pretty enjoyable. So it was just, you know, just literally getting through them to get to Torghast. So sure. I haven't seen a lot of it.
Sure.
But it felt the kind of, you know, I think one of my favorite zones ever in WoW was the one from Wrath of the Lich King, the Crystal Song Forest.
Oh, Crystal Song Forest, right below Dalaran down there. Yeah.
Yeah, where basically you didn't do anything.
Right.
It was an unused zone.
And there was some elf people you interacted with once and then forgot about.
At some
about.
Point, there was a patch. Yeah, there was a patch.
I think there were daily dailies in there once they were working on the stuff up north.
I think it was tournament. A later patch of the expansion.
I only remember really good for going there once.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was pretty.
It was a cool
But realm. Anyway, so my point that. Is I liked Bastion. I think I might like Bastion, and I'm not sure how much I'm going to like Ravendreth. And what's the Legion Evil Lords one?
Maldraxxus?
Is that
Maldraxxus,
it? Maldraxxus, that's it. Yeah. It's look, taste is a thing, right? Like you it may just
yeah,
not
some
be your
people
jam.
Have it and other people are Patrick. It's okay.
I've gone back and forth on that. That kind of gothic sort of vampire-y thing comes and goes for me. And vampires in general, I'm kind of hate on a little bit, but I really like how they're portraying that vibe in the game, so I give it a pass there. But actual vampire stuff, just not into it. Don't really care about it. Not my jam.
Well, I blame Twilight for that more than anything else.
Maybe.
Understandable.
It's like Walking Dead.
So I have another confession.
On zombies.
Yeah, they've kind of ruined it. Yes. It's all. Sorry, Garrett or Patrick, go ahead.
Another one. I'm kind of if you want to talk in Dungeons and Dragons terms, I'm true neutral. Like, I believe in the balance of things, like, to the point that if everyone likes something, I'm kind of going to start liking the other thing genuinely just to provide balance to the force.
Yeah, because you're a hipster. And I get it. It's okay.
Maybe there's a little bit of that.
A little bit. Dude, I've seen your scarf collection. So, you've got some serious hipster quality. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's not okay. An insult.
I admire it.
Some of my best friends are hipsters.
Some of my best friends are hipsters. and so I wonder, you know, I don't dislike vampires on principle or anything. I think there's a little bit of that going on as well, since everyone in WoW seems obligated to, you know, adore metal and spikes and skulls. And like, I want the shiny heaven looking thing that is bland and boring.
No, I think so, what it is is you have a thing for the crystalline forests and the elf forests and the stuff that's not forests but cities and gleaming stuff on the hill. Suramar,
high fantasy.
Yeah, you like the high fantasy stuff. I tend to go more dark fantasy, but I like the light fantasy or the lighter stuff to remind me that the dark is cool because it's only cool because the light is there. You know what I mean? Like, we need the contrast. So there's nothing wrong with that.
You're kind of neutral as well. You're joining the Church of Patrick.
I kind of am.
I like more than just, you know, My Chemical Romance. I go beyond that. I like elves, which means I like all the foresty stuff that happens in World of Warcraft. I really like their like nature cranked up to 11. I love that aesthetic. I mean, Grizzly Hills, I don't really give a crap about like Redwood Forest, but Grizzly Hills just looks amazing.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's a zone that really resonated with me. Yeah. I just like it when it's done right. I also just happen to never really get sick of Tim Burton, and I like cheesy emo rock operas from the mid-2000s. Mm. Like,
so I'm on board. Again, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying people shouldn't like it. I'm just talking for myself.
Sure.
When everyone loves Ravendreth, I'm like, check, and you know, it might change in the fight.
It's not surprising to see this stuff when it comes out of Blizzard, and where you see stuff like this in World of Warcraft, given, and you sort of made mention of this, but everybody at Blizzard seems like they're all metalheads. They all grew up with all that stuff. Like,
it's like if
that's original Blizzard, and then there's Overwatch, which is new Blizzard. And the exact.
I was going to say if I see Samwise Didier do the horns one more time, it's like
you've been doing it
for 20 years, man, and it's fine that you're consistent, but
yeah.
All right,
but even like, you know, talking to Metzen, finding out his biggest, you know, inspirations were like I'm trying to think of some metal bands that he mentioned, like Iron Maiden was a big one. He loved Iron Maiden, loved it to death, listened to it constantly, like that kind of stuff.
Who
just
does that surprise? It's
not surprising,
right?
There's plenty of other studios that lean very far in different directions. There's plenty of Fortnites and Riot games out there for you, that are very colorful, and
that is very
I don't know Zoomer, what the hell is the new generation?
I don't know what they are.
All of it to me, and again, I love the Overwatch art direction, but there's a little bit of it that all of this very colorful looks like it could have been art on a Trapper Keeper that just looks like it's like the Burger King Kids Club, and it's just a little too
totally.
Wholesome.
It's
a little too wholesome.
It is a little bit.
I love the art direction, but it's just, I want a couple heads on spikes. Just a couple.
Yeah. I mean, that is.
Is it too much to ask?
Yeah.
A couple heads.
Yeah.
Just a couple, man. Just a couple.
Even robot heads in that world would be cool. Have some of those laying around. That'd be fun.
Like my two favorite tier sets are Judgment. So I like, you know, really just awesome Regal Paladin Insanity. Mm-hmm. And the tier four Warlock with all the spikes on their skulls on. Or is that tier three? Tier four had the wings.
I don't remember. But that was really cool.
I'll say. That Ravendreth feels a little bit, just a little bit Hot Topic to me. A little bit.
Sure.
I still shop there.
Yeah, of course. None of this surprises me. I did buy a SpongeBob shirt there about 6 months ago. So they're mostly brands now. They're less like dark and edgy and a little more like.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place to get stocking stuffers for Christmas for your nerdy.
Yeah, friends. It kind of is. It's mostly nerd crap these days. A lot of pop toys, way too many. Of course, that's just true in general. But anyway. Maybe we'll have a big flip the other direction. You know, Blizzard's working hard and fast on Diablo 4. That looks pretty damn dark. Maybe we swing that direction. And I mean, that isn't.
Yeah.
I
think in Diablo 4, it's so much the actual theme of the thing. Like, it's literally hell invading everywhere.
Yeah.
It bothers me a lot. Well, it's not that it bothers me. I knew this was going to be so controversial. It's like we're, you know, the Democrats versus the Republicans here.
Yeah,
a little bit more, you know, polite.
But yeah, we're much more polite.
You know, I don't think it's controversial, man. I mean, you're literally talking about like what type of art direction, what type of aesthetic you like and you're a fan of. I don't think that's controversial. If someone's mad at you for your opinion and taste, they're being mean.
Yeah.
they're being wrong
and mean. Quit being wrong and mean.
In Diablo, it's obviously.
So the bottom line is the Bastion look is doing it for you. For me, it wasn't so much the look; it's the scarcity of geometry. It just feels like it's not finished, and maybe it literally isn't. Mm. Like it's the first thing we get in terms of beta quest line outside of Exile's Reach as a new character. But that throws me because it seems like you want to show your best thing during the first part of the alpha like that. And maybe this is all it's ever going to be. And I understand it's like in quote unquote heaven. It's in this realm of, you know, lots of air and space and clouds and stuff floating off in different directions, kind of in a grand style. So I know what they're aiming for there. Something about that just feels too airy, too empty, too structurally sort of bland. And it's hard to put my finger on it, but the rest of everything else I've seen looks great.
I think it's a safe bet, though, right? Like, if it's your first experience with Shadowlands, your character is going to the afterlife, like, you start in heaven. start in the most idyllic version of WoW's afterlife and go from there. Like, it makes sense to me, even though I agree with you, Scott. It's of the four main new zones, not counting, you know, the Maw, Bastion's like my least favorite, you know, art direction. But yeah, it's just because it's a little too perfect. It's a little on the nose and kind of expected for me.
Yeah, I totally get it. All right, speaking of Diablo, there is some decently sized possible news, although it's all in German. Patrick, do you know German? I can't remember. Is that one of your languages?
I do not.
Okay, it's not one of your 10 languages.
Do not insult me, Scott Johnson.
Patrick would never know German. They would.
I so horribly wanted to take it, and the 4 years I was in high school were the only 4 years they didn't offer it.
Oh, man. What a rip. I took, No, I did have a year of German. I did German 1 year, Spanish for 2 years. I remember nothing from either, so.
I did Spanish for 2 years and remember very little.
I remember 9, which is no. All right.
And correct. I too have watched Inglourious Basterds.
Doesn't take much to remember that. All right. The rumor floating around and found on this website, Octu Gaming, which is a German fan site or a German video game site.
Wait. Octu Gaming, isn't that French? Let me go to the
link. Is it French? Did I think this was German and it never was? Oh, it may be French.
Wait. Yes, it is French.
Oh, then this is what a glorious day.
Word you're thinking of should have an H in it, Scott.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Achtung. It's the Achtung that was thrown me.
Achtung, which means dangerous.
Right. Achtung, baby.
Means news.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's...
It's essentially gaming news.
Here's what's dangerous. Me just trying to figure out what language this is, so I'm going to not do it anymore. But however, it is fortuitous because Patrick's with us and can correct any dumb things I say here. Basically, and I haven't translated the entire site, but the rumor has surfaced on this site, French. It is a French site. Octu Gaming seems to claim that Diablo 2 will be remastered as Diablo 2 : Resurrected and released the fourth quarter of this year. They say it may be slightly delayed due to the current coronavirus situation. Taking this rumor with a grain of salt, though, the folks that reported this over on MMO Champion say that they were also responsible for the Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 announcement rumors that surfaced before BlizzCon. So they have a track record of getting stuff right. I don't know if there's anything else about that site that says anything interesting, Patrick, but basically the rumor is maybe this year is okay. So I have a theory. Because you have to ask yourself, why would Blizzard not announce this in the calendar year that it's coming out, if it indeed comes out? And my thinking would be, because it went real bad with Warcraft 3 Reforged, and they're still licking their wounds from that and had a bad time. And so they don't want to have too much hype behind this. I think they want to just get it out and say, hey, by the way, Diablo 2 remastered. Here you go. Check it out. Go have fun. It's widescreen. It's 4K. It's the original sprites, but everything's been beefed up without too much fanfare. And then fans won't have a bunch of expectations about redone cutscenes or new voice work or any of the things that they got in trouble with.
Because of Warcraft 3, there are expectations whether they like it or not.
Yeah, that's true. But see, that's my point. You can some of that you can buffer by saying, oh, and we got this thing and it's out next week. And then everybody's like, oh, we didn't know that was coming. All right, cool. Hope it's better than Reforged. Anyway, I guess I'll play it. Like, there's just less of that lead up if that's what they're doing. And I don't know if they are or not, but that's the only reason I can think of that they wouldn't have announced it already or even talked about it earlier in this year, let alone BlizzCon, is because of the kind of rancid experience everybody had with the Warcraft 3 Reforged launch. So
that, and also Diablo just having a lot of baggage around it,
yeah,
because of Immortal, because of the Schreier piece on future Diablo 3 expansions being canceled.
There's
a lot of Diablo baggage.
It piles up after a while, let's say it that way. Would you guys play a remastered version of Diablo 2? Because I think I would. Would you?
Not if it's to the quality of Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Yeah.
So I never beat Diablo 2. I played it over at friends' houses countless times, and I can't even tell you how many times I beat the demo.
Yeah.
But I didn't have my own computer until kind of late in my teens, so Diablo 2 missed me. So I would very much like to beat it, but if it's kind of like, if it ends up being like Warcraft 3 or Forged, where it controls just as janky as the original version, I don't think I'm interested.
Yeah, I kind of want, in the world of like Final Fantasy VII Remaster and these Resident Evil remasters, which have been amazing, and I don't even like horror games, like I feel like the expectations are higher now. I just, and even for a game that's an old PC game, like it just.
I mean, where I'm coming from, it's like it's very, very personal. But like, I have a lot of nostalgia for Warcraft 3, and I've put 2 hours into Reforged, and I'm out.
Yeah, kind of did the same. Patrick, what do you think? You want to play it? You be into it?
I'll play it just to play it, but I didn't really love the first one, Diablo 2. It wasn't like my thing, so I don't think I'll play it more than that. Clearly there will be people, if it's done well, there will be people who will be very happy about it. I'm wondering though how many people, you know, and this is something that is always a question mark, how many people want it because they remember the feeling of playing it rather than the actual game. But we never know. I mean, obviously with what's happened with retail, I am never again going to venture a guess that people actually don't want something. But I mean, the question is still valid, that we don't know if people really want it, because, you know, Diablo 2 is a really old game at this point.
Oh yeah.
And things have changed a lot. So
yeah, it kind of launched old. I remember when it launched, couldn't have been more excited about it. And I beta tested the game, way back then. I had a friend inside Blizzard even then, but they, at the time, I remember being so excited, but all the talk was, oh my gosh, the rest of the world, this is 2001. The rest of the world are making 3D games. PlayStation's been out this long. PCs are already doing this and this, the, you know, 3D is the new thing. How could you possibly do 2D sprites in your Diablo game? And also, how can you possibly lock this at 800 by 600 at the time? They eventually unlocked it to 1024 by 768, but there was a locked resolution of 800 by 600 pixels on that game, and people were pissed, but it's still like this, you know, all-time classic, amazing game, and it was. And I played it twice, beat it, ran two characters all the way through, did all the difficulty stuff. Like, it was a huge game for me. Gigantic. But even I will admit, as big of an influence as that was, and maybe that was my main, actually, as my main connection to the Blizzard universe entirely, Warcraft wasn't really my thing. This was hugely my thing, and probably is the reason that I carried through, and then WoW happened and everything else happened, and then, you know, why I'm even doing this show. But I think I owe it mostly to Diablo 2 and 1 to some extent. But I will even admit, saying all of that, that there's no way that thing plays as great as we all remember it. And I don't know what a remaster might do to change that. I mean, my personal preference would be take the Warcraft 3 engine and give me the entirety of Warcraft 2 in that engine. That means story. That means, I mean, I don't know how you do the ability stuff because it's all different, so different than 3. And it's a huge undertaking. But if that's what they were announcing and that's what they were going to do, and mind you, they haven't announced anything, so this is all could be rumor. But if they did, I'd be stoked about that. I would play that. Like a remake, a proper remake would be really neat. But
yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, whether I want it or not, like, and obviously I'm certain there are people out there who would want it to stay true to the original. But I think what other remakes that are selling like hotcakes right now, your Resident Evils and your Final Fantasies, are showing us that there's clearly a market for remakes when a lot of effort is put in, and they don't really control like the originals, so there doesn't seem to be as much interest in purity of experience. So that's what I would want. I would want a full-on remake, like change the controls, make it look better, make it control better, bring it up to the 21st century.
That's right where my head's at. So we will see what they do. Okay.
In the website.
Oh,
the
French website. Tell me more. What did they say?
They're talking about the fact that there would be 3 mobile games currently in development. Not sure if that counts Immortal. And saying that Immortal would be in alpha this summer.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
Well, that's the most Immortal news we've gotten in a long time. Also still rumor, I guess, but...
I mean, file the last 10 minutes under rumor, everything.
But, yeah. I mean, the Immortal thing.
I feel like that'd be three being in development. I mean, that's honestly just a really safe guess because we know they have multiple mobile teams. We just don't know what they're working on.
Right. So, right.
Yeah. I take the whole thing with a grain of salt, but yeah, I'm interested in anything Blizzard does as long as it's good, man. Like at the end of the day, like just make it good.
Yeah, make it good. I'll play it. Yeah. I'm ready for playing something good. Do you have something good? I'll play it. How
and
about
even
that?
The Immortal thing, like this summer. Yeah, of course, it could be this summer. It's so. I mean, it might be true. It might also be a guess. We don't know.
Oh, but man,
they're a well-known site. It's not, you know, Joe Reddit who posted something once.
Yeah, so, Joe Reddit.
No.
Somebody should change their name legally to Joe Reddit. I think that'd be great. Also, I'm just looking at some old footage here of Diablo 2, and the nostalgia is real. Like, I am feeling it. I don't know. Again, I don't know how well it's going to hold up, and if they don't do too much to it to improve it, if they really go nuts and add new animation. Like, but that's the thing. That kind of project would have been announced and talked about and fawned over, and you know,
at BlizzCon, you mean?
Yeah, I think so. If it was going to be that big of a deal. If they're just
going
to do,
BlizzCon had a lot going on.
Yeah,
I don't know that they would have done it then.
It just seems like a great way to finish your Diablo 4 announcement at the end is to go, and by the way, this summer, deepa derpa dee, you get to play.
I mean,
two,
hell, man. I would play through Diablo 2 in the Diablo 3 engine. Like,
yeah,
just roll it that way.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I was saying.
Remember
earlier.
How Tristram the Diablo 1 thing?
Oh, that was so bad.
It was pretty bad.
Maybe you don't want that to happen.
Well,
you, Scott, I was a guest on the Instance panel at BlizzCon that year, and we had someone from the Diablo team on, and you were like, Garrett, what do you think of it? And I was like, I think it looks not great.
Not
I don't
great.
Want to insult this gentleman sitting here, but I think it looks like half-assed crap.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It was meant to look, I mean, it was super patched together. Like, there was no way that was a... you know, they were trying to make it look like old ass Diablo, and in some ways it worked. And
it feels a lot better in retrospect that it's just like an event that hits the game annually, and it's just like a thing that you can get engaged with if you want. But like they kind of rolled out more fanfare than I was expecting for that, and I was like, oh damn, it's like a full on. No, it's not. Oh, this is that's just like a bad Instagram filter.
Do you guys think they had to have had? I mean, I don't know this. I'd love to know this. We should ask people this that work at Blizzard or have worked there, but I want to know, there had to have been meetings where it was at least bandied about that they might, their MMO in 2004 that they would start work on in 2002 or 3, there must have been some talk that, hey, should we do Diablo or should we do Warcraft? Like, there had to have been that discussion.
Even,
right?
I think they had decided it would be Warcraft from the beginning, because the story of 3 leads right into, you know, it was developed essentially at the same time.
I remember reading PC Gamer articles about WoW while playing launch Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah,
exactly. It came out a year later.
Yeah, it was only 1 year later. Yeah.
Back to back.
Totally right.
But they did have the click to move option in World of Warcraft, precisely because, you know, they didn't want to lose the Diablo crowd, or because that's how it worked then.
Yeah, that's not in there now at all, right? It's totally gutted from the game. That's not even a possibility.
I think it's still there.
Is it? Can I still click to move? Holy,
I don't know.
I played in class with my laptop with that before, because all I have is the touchpad.
Oh my gosh. How to move World of Warcraft in it. Hold on. Click to move, camera not working. Oh, there's still people trying to mess with it. Weird. All right, I guess that's in there somewhere. It must be buried or something. But I remember that being there and going, no one's going to use that. I think I was right. All right.
I eventually got a very, very, very small mouse that I could just bring with me.
What, like a little pocket one, like a little wireless one or something? Or like a?
It was like about half the size of your standard mouse and had one of those like reel them up, like corded USB connectors.
Oh, they need to do them like vacuums where they suck them up the back, you know? Like that'd be cool. That's a mouse I'd buy.
Exactly what mine was like.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
This would have been 2006?
Yeah, about, oh my gosh, the year I started the show. Let's not think
about it. You have to play WoW in class. You have to play WoW in class.
Yeah. That's,
listen, man, when you go to art school, they make you, you have to take X amount of liberal arts credits, and they're all BS. And
all of them.
They're boring.
Yep, totally right. I agree with that. Okay, some Activision Blizzard news. They had an earnings call, which is interesting given where it's happening and now that it's happening. Activision had 102 million MAUs in their first quarter. MAU stands for, I forgot.
Monthly active users.
Active users, that's it. This is down from 128 million MAU in quarter 4 of 2019. So they had a drop there. Blizzard had 32 million MAUs in the first quarter, and this is the same as their quarter four 2019. So they didn't see any change. After doubling in the second half of 2019, World of Warcraft's active player community increased further in the first quarter, driven by both new and returning players as the team continued to deliver more content between expansions than ever before. Also, they don't mention it here, but people getting locked down for 3 months probably helped that because they went and played World of Warcraft, but that's just my guess. Each of Blizzard's key franchises experienced a month-to-month increase in those users in March as a result of the shelter-at-home stuff. It says here Hearthstone engagement improved sequentially, driven by new Battlegrounds game mode and strong execution in live operations. That jive with what you believe to be true there, Garrett?
Yeah.
Yeah? Seems.
Yeah, I mean, they were going hard the first quarter of 2020.
Yeah.
It was like we basically, I think we maybe would have a week here and there without a major game update. And we're just now coming out of our longest lull since the beginning of 2020. And I think it's been 3 weeks since an in-game update.
Yeah.
And we got a big one today. So Hearthstone's just been kicking it.
Yep. They're doing good. In terms of Overwatch, it says engagement increased meaningfully in March, whatever that means. And the Overwatch League successfully moved to online play and remote production, which doesn't speak to its financial success, only its operational success. So I guess that's good. They stated Shadowlands is on schedule to release quarter four this year, like they had always planned. I think the fact that we're in the alpha now, that all holds true. I have no reason to think that they would delay that. Says World of Warcraft drove strong revenue growth and operating margin growth for Blizzard, and WoW Classic has been very strong in the East, while WoW Retail was strong in the West. They're speaking worldwide there, not coasts here. Does that surprise anyone that Classic's bigger in, say, Asia and less so here? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that statement. It's a weird one. Because I don't know why that would be. It seems like it would be equal or maybe less so in Asia where they got it later than we did. Or I don't know. It's an odd thing. They don't give numbers, but just saying it's stronger in the East than
I really don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I don't either. That's my problem. All right. Happy birthday to Leroy Jenkins. 15 years, guys.
He can get his learner's permit.
15.
He can drive into the rookery as long as one of his parents are in the vehicle with him.
There you go. At least he got chicken. Here's the funny thing about that. The people who did it eventually made it public that it was faked, but it didn't matter. It was still a huge meme and was hugely popular. Still, people bring it up all the time in all sorts of contexts. I noticed today there was some op-ed piece on some news site. Don't remember which. And I don't want to get into politics here, but it was basically comparing the way our government in particular has been handling the coronavirus outbreak and referred to it as being Leroy Jenkins, and that was the way they were celebrating the 15 years.
At least the government has chicken.
Yeah, well, here's how they explained it. They said, okay, so there's a whole bunch of people in that group on voice comms that are making plans. They're saying, all right, well, you need to do this. Do this shout right then, debuff this, buff that, you know, telling everybody what to do. And then somebody just goes brruh, 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 and runs out there and all the whelps are the virus and everyone got wiped out.
So that's actually a pretty funny.
It's
way
not
of,
bad.
Of,
it's a yeah. pretty fitting describe. Analogy.
Yeah. It's yeah. not bad as a thing, except for the chicken part doesn't make sense, but whatever. Anyway,
listen, if you're going to run out
it's
and
the re-election, the chicken is the re-election and he's going to get it.
Yeah.
So at least he has that.
Yeah. If you're going to run out and yell Leroy Jenkins, just please wear a mask. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, wear
just
a mask. Yep.
Wear a mask.
We can still hear you. You don't have to keep that mask on if you're yelling Leroy Jenkins. Now, I would argue, as just in retrospect here, as World of Warcraft memes go, that one's all right and everything. But the real jam for me is the Mordots guy. That never gets old. I could listen to that guy yelling at his raid team all day. A, because it's real, and that was an actual conversation in a raid. And
oh, that guy was such a jerk.
Oh, he's the worst. He's the worst.
I'm starting to think that every WoW meme could be used to describe the current crisis in the world. I think that would work as well.
Yeah. Everyone else is trying their hardest, and there's just some guy at the top being a loudmouth jerk.
Yeah, you're not. I mean,
or dots. Yeah. I said, and then no one is actually doing what they're saying to do.
You died because you didn't know what the F to do. Like all that whole thing. Everything he says. DK, what's a 15 DKP minus in the real world? I don't know what that is. Or 50. I don't know what it stands
for. Sometimes things are dark and you need
to laugh. I don't know why you're asking me that. You should ask Onyxia.
Yeah, see? See, exactly. Oh my gosh, that's ripped from today's headlines. Nice job. Anyway, yeah, so happy birthday to Leroy and all his pals. Well done, guys. You're 15 years old. You can get a learner's permit, but you can't drive legally without a parent until next year. Okay.
And if you're keeping score, that's a 50 GOP minus.
That's very, very well said. Okay, this is an interesting thing I found. I just wanted to get out of here or get out onto the show because I thought it was great. Wowhead, I want to thank them for putting this together. They made a height comparison for faction leaders in World of Warcraft, and this is rad. So I'm going to pull this up.
Is it?
I think it is. I think this is great.
Okay. I think Patrick and I need to start keeping a card called "We think this is boring, Scott."
This is not boring. This is not boring at all. This is so great. If you have ever wondered...
The card is just, are you sure? And if you say yes, then that's fine. That's great.
I can only assume, Scott, that as a content creator, you just have a lot of respect for really putting a lot of effort into obvious filler content.
I completely agree. Well, I mean, also, okay,
look, all right, I can respect that.
Low Newsweek means cool infographics showing me how tall all the faction leaders are. So get this. Did you know that Khadgar, Shit Wizard Khadgar, you're familiar with him, that dude is, 7.6 feet tall. Did you know that? Did you know that's how big he was? I don't think you did. Hold on, I want to pull this up. View image. Okay.
Okay, actually, I revise my statement. This is the most incredible thing ever.
It is incredible, because next to him... who's that? Oh, Karga or
Sarafang.
Sarafang is 7.6 feet tall. That means he's a little shorter than Khadgar. What?
Hey, all right, fine. We're gonna have a serious conversation. Hey, Blizzard, what the hell? A human shouldn't be damn near as tall as an upright orc.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm saying.
What? This is all over the place.
This is exactly what I'm
saying. The new Sylvanas is slightly shorter than the old Sylvanas.
Yep.
Wait, why? Yep. What happened? Did she clip the top of her ears?
Yep. Sylvanas is 5'7 in her new form. Jaina in her current form is 6.92 feet tall.
Jesus.
She's 4.5 inches taller than I am, which makes
she's
no sense.
She's taller than Talrissa, yep. A freaking Nightborn. They're taller than Night Elves, which are super tall, but Jaina is taller than Talrissa. I don't even know what's going on. Up is down, black is white. Cats and dogs are living together. Scott, I'm out.
Now, do you know who the tallest among the faction leaders are? This is going to surprise you. Maybe it won't. I don't know. Almost 10 feet for Prophet Velen. Talanji. From the last expansion, she is 10 feet. And then Wolfman, what's his name? Shit.
Greymane.
He is 10.72 feet in non-human form, which is pretty amazing. Dude, even freaking the leader faction little turd bucket of the goblins is 5.8 feet. He's my wife's height. That makes no sense.
That does not make any sense.
No, he's a goblin.
Can someone please tell me what happened to Rathian? Because Rathian is sitting at a measly 6.4 feet, which sounds like a lot, but then you realize he's shorter than basically every other humanoid character.
Yep.
And he looks like a mini person, like compared to everyone else on here. Yeah, it just doesn't make
really
sense.
Really weird the way that this.
We got the new Rathian model.
Do we know
the same
how they made
the
those
new...
calculations? Or
so it does say in the article how they did it, which I'm going to pull up right here. By the way, our tallest faction leader is Bane Bloodhoof. He's 10.33 feet tall, just so
that makes sense.
But 6.13 feet, over 6 feet for freaking crystallized, what's his bucket? What's his
Velen?
Name? No, who's Magni. The dwarf?
Magni
Bronzebeard.
Oh, Magni.
Magni Bronzebeard.
Yeah. I'm going to teleport while you have to walk your slow ass back over here.
And they don't count. I don't think they count hats or totems. I don't. Or are they? Maybe they are. All right. Anyway, it says this. Players have been interested in the size of the jailer recently. This is where this came from, because everyone's like, how big's the jailer? Because in some of the art, he's like this giant shadow behind people. And in some of the recent art, he looks just like a humanoid. So they were comparing them all. They created the image through a new technology added to WoW Studio app, a program we developed to show off our Shadowlands data mining streams. Anyway, with this feature, we'll be able to easily compare any size of any model added to WoW. Calculated the height using the measurements provided by the official WoW engineering blog, which stated that WoW uses yards as game units, meaning one unit in World of Warcraft is exactly 3 feet. So, without further ado, there's their list. I don't know why I like this kind of stuff. It's fun, though. I enjoy
it. Man, they have all been eating their vegetables.
Yeah, they have.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe they converted the WoW measurement, which is, I believe, yards, mm-hmm. directly into meters, which is what three, like, it's completely not the same thing. We were talking about measurements earlier. Mm. How many meters is a yard? Is that correct? Or is
it yard? 1 yard is just shy of a meter.
Yeah, this
meter
is the problem with yards.
Okay, so it works. Yeah. Of a yard. It's pretty close.
Pretty close.
Okay.
Another argument.
But maybe if you look at it in meters, then all of a sudden the all of these measurements makes more sense.
Yes. I would agree. Now, by the way, they did figure out by what's in the game so far from their data mining, 7.13 feet for the jailer, which makes him shorter than, say, Greymane at 10.72 or even Sylvanas and others. The jailer is 7.13 feet tall. It's not very big. However, we know this game does this all the time where they just scale the shit out of stuff. So 1 minute, Khadgar's like you, and the next minute he's like, I'm filled with shit wizard power, and he's 9,000 feet tall or whatever. They can scale him in any way they want to, so it's all kind of a moot point. But
oh my god, at the end of the tech alpha, please put a 9,000 foot tall Khadgar in all the capital cities that we have to fight.
Yes, do it like the Travis Scott concert in Fortnite. And I just want to fight it.
At the end, he just channels like a 30-second ability called Knowledge is Power, and when it goes off, the alpha ends.
There you go. This is my big complaint, by the way, about that Fortnite stunt they keep doing with big giant guys in their world. I'm fine with it. It's way cool. Like, Travis Scott stomping around doing his latest song, his latest single, is very cool. What would make it cooler is if everybody in the game wasn't just relegated to stop shooting things because they can't kill anything anymore, and instead they all have to do like a raid-style takedown of Travis Scott before he finishes his... his set.
He's too powerful. We must banish him to the Nether Zone.
That'd be amazing, dude.
I think... The point is to get people to not shoot us stuff for a minute. the first thought of Scott is, what if we shot the thing that is being cool and bringing culture?
Well, you're in a shooter, though. You're in a shooter. You're supposed to shoot, you know?
It's Scott's defense that is basically the only way you interface in that game besides building.
Yeah, you build that dumb stuff or you shoot. Or the other. And I did see a funny video. Somebody had built a platform and they just happened to be exact height for Travis Scott's giant crotch to just like swing right in front of him and stay there for like 10 minutes. It was great.
This concert is too lit. We must take him down.
Yeah. I mean, it would be cool if that was the, okay, let him finish. He does all his music, whatever. Now fight him. And he can stomp around Godzilla style.
Did you just Kanye Travis Scott in Fortnite? Did you just say, I'm going to let you finish?
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish, basically. Finish your songs. But after that, you can be Godzilla and we're going to take you down and then resume our shooter game. Not our concert.
Listen, yeah. I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool. What I'm saying is maybe they shouldn't do.
Hey, you guys. I'm going to talk to you about VPNs. I'm going to talk to you about privacy. All right, so we know how to use a VPN, right? Do we? We all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and your security online, right? Okay. There's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Canada, Europe, Asia. Think about it. Well, now that so many of us are stuck at home, I assume a lot of you are under those same kind of restrictions as I am right now. It's only a matter of time till you start running out of stuff to watch on Netflix. So this whole week, I've been using ExpressVPN to binge on Doctor Who in the UK. Because I can. Or, listen, if somebody out there wants to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they can, because they can VPN to the right country for it. How about Rick and Morty in Netflix France or Blackadder on Netflix UK? It's so simple to do. You just fire up your ExpressVPN app. It's on the PC. It's on Mac. It's kind of wherever you need it. Change my location to the UK, for example. Then I refresh Netflix and boom, that's it. I'm in UK Netflix. See, ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where and what sites you want to think you're located in. All right? You can also choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you're going to get to go through. Stuff you just can't get in your own territory. Love anime? Well, use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. And it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works for any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is because it's just ridiculously fast. I don't have any buffering or lag. I can stream HD content, no problem. It's also compatible with all my devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and so much more. You can watch what you want, when you want, on a personal device or the big screen, wherever you are. I really, really like it. I have to admit, I was a little not... Well, I'll say it this way. I'm new to VPNs and how they work. I couldn't believe how easy this was. I literally just installed it and boom, I was done and there it is. And I can switch countries anytime. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, if you visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/wow, that's W-O-W, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/wow. Try it today. Well, on that note, let's do this. You make a good argument, Patrick. All right.
Thank you.
There's things going on in the world of Blizzard that we haven't mentioned. Heroes had a huge balance patch this week. You can probably stop banning Zul, says Garrett, in competitive. As I didn't realize Zul was getting sidelined so much. Was he just too strong, too good, too great?
He was at almost a 70% win rate for like a month.
Holy so, yeah. crap. All right, that's too high. Yeah. Yeah, I always liked Zul, but I have to admit I have not touched him since he got turned into an assassin and they dropped specialists.
So it's been basically a week since the last patch. So I'm going to go over to a website that is definitely not a plug. Hotslogs.com. You should go to HOTSlogs.com.
Yeah, who owns this?
Definitely
dump?
Not Man. Owned and operated by me in any way.
Yeah.
Where you can see that Zul is still sitting pretty at a 60% win rate in the last 7 days.
Oh my gosh, look at that. Rexar's up there pretty high too.
Don't tell anyone that Rexar is good. Kyle already made an entire video about countering Rexar, and that is my one trick.
I did see that. That was very cryptic.
Pay no attention to the Rexar.
Yeah. Poor Genji at the bottom of this list. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was a good balance patch. We got reworks for Cassia and Tracer. Mm-hmm. Like big overhauls. They play very differently now. Jury is still kind of out on Tracer. As a matter of fact, I haven't looked. Let's see. It's been about a week now.
Oh, yeah. Is that rework done then? It's not done. Her rework.
No, it's done. It's out. It went out last week.
Holy crap. I'm getting in there after the show today. Well,
She's almost at a 52% win rate. Right. So, well, yeah, that worked quite well for Tracer.
She is one of my favorite characters in the game.
There was a lot of doomsaying with Tracer, which I understand. People that mained Tracer, she really just doesn't work the way she used to anymore.
No.
But I think for the vast majority of us who probably weren't already playing Tracer and didn't have like one very specific way to play her kind of nailed down, I think she's gonna be a lot more accessible for a lot more players.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at Cassia. How did
Tassadar get back up in the decent zone after his
so
game?
Tassadar's rework was huge. They completely changed how he played. He's basically a mage now, like a high DPS mage with no escape. They got rid of his escape mechanic.
Oh, he's at 52.
They made his force wall part of his base kit. It's not
a
heroic anymore.
I know. I love it. He's so good.
And he released kind of weak. He was pretty low in the win rates. Mm-hmm. But in the patch last week, they buffed him. And he is now sitting pretty over the 50% win rate hump, which is where we'd like our heroes to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the rise. He's continuing to climb. So
he's really fun to play now. Super good. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Even if you lose, he's fun. All right. Well, good for them. Lots going on there. Nothing really happening in Diablo other than what we talked about. Hearthstone, lots of stuff, including 3 new heroes, 1 new minion in Battlegrounds. Oh, my gosh. Anything else?
Live as of like 2 hours ago.
Oh, that was today's update we're talking about. All right. Cool.
Big one. just happened. Kael'thas is now a playable hero in Battlegrounds. Lady Vash is a playable hero in Battlegrounds. Who was the third?
Mancrick's wife. Right, nope. Probably not
Mancrick's wife. Maiev Shadowsong.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
So those are your three heroes, and they added a new tier one minion that grows every time you play a Death Rattle minion. Mm-hmm. And they got rid of Direwolf Alpha, which was a tier one minion no one cared about. So we will not miss the poor Direwolf.
Well, there you have it. Any feeling as to whether or not, I don't know why this intrigues me, because I just like to watch the industry have their little competitions, but is there any word on whether Legends of Runeterra have cut any ground away from Hearthstone user base or players or streamers or anything?
I have no idea. I see a lot of people playing it. It seems to be doing all right on Twitch. But I still, like, my friends list is still a lot of people playing Hearthstone.
Yeah, mine too. I haven't really noticed a huge jump off there. So just curious. Yeah.
I finally pulled out of my nosedive of losses too.
Oh, well done.
So I'm doing okay in Hearthstone.
Well done. Patrick, tell me if anything, is anything going on in Overwatch right now? Because my feeling is that nothing is, but I want there to be, so surprise me. Anything cool in the game right now?
Listen, Scott, nothing is going on in Overwatch.
I mean, if you like Overwatch, going on.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, actually, yes. Okay. Sorry. Right. There is one thing, what? And it's pretty major. Mm. Blizzard published a developer video dev feedback thing, not feedback, but developer update, where Jeff shows up and he's like, hey, so here's what we're thinking of. Here's what we're doing, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of interesting stuff on the gameplay side. However, the Epic Beard is back.
Oh, this is a big deal. Oh my gosh.
Luxurious beard is back with us. And I consider this, my friends, I consider this to be one of the very few silver linings of the lockdown and the current global pandemic crisis that we're in. Because we hadn't seen it since, I believe, the launch of Overwatch.
Right.
Beta period. And we had begged, we had hoped, we had, wished, prayed. And now it's here.
Well,
there is one thing happening in Overwatch.
The best beard that
an omen?
No, yeah, it pretends horrible future. I hope not. I hope it means good things. Who knows? But the last time he had a beard quite this epic for me was when he was suddenly taken from the Overwatch, or excuse me, the World of Warcraft lead position, and disappeared. Was put in a cave for however long, and nobody knew what he was working on. And then it turned out
Jeff Kaplan built this in a cave.
Exactly.
With a box of scraps.
Damn it. That's right. And he was working on what was it called? Titan. Project Titan. And then
actually, that's a really apt analogy. He did build it with a box of scraps.
He did. And then when it ended, or when it went away, he came out sporting a total caveman beard. And that was amazing. And then he shaved it. So let's get back to that.
And he said, I want a cheeseburger.
Yes. He always
wants what he said.
All right. I hope he does that Christmas thing this year where he sits in front of the fire again. I always
What's the name of that game by the
Valorant?
Oh my god.
Valorant.
The game that came out at Valorant. The same time.
Valorant.
No. Back then, because Valorant is being quite successful.
Oh. Gears, whatever their Top Gear or
Paragon.
Paragon. Not Paragon.
Not Paragon.
Hardened Battlers. Hold on.
Battle
Chasers. Battle
from Borderlands. From
Battleborn. 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 It's Battleborn.
Battleborn. And so yes, that's what the Randy Pitchford was like with his team when they shipped Battleborn. He was like, "What are you doing, Jeff Kaplan? Build this in a cave." With a bunch of scrap.
Yeah, Battleborn.
Sorry for the Battleborn developers. It was a fun game. Wrong time.
It didn't go well, though, for them in the end, unfortunately.
Oh, not at all. Did not go well at all.
That's why Patrick is apologizing to them.
Yeah. Apology accepted. All right. Well, that's pretty much it in that world. Now this one.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, the town crier, who, by the way, I mean, he was like 7 or 8 years old in that recording. He will be turning 20 this coming weekend. Think of that.
I do not believe you.
My son will be 20.
That I will be able to have a beer with him at the next BlizzCon because we know ain't one happening this year.
Yeah.
I that is insane.
I thought we were going to get an official word this week on that, by the way. I really did. I don't know why. What? I just had, nah, had a feeling. Early. You think it's to when do you think's the latest they tell us? What do you think? Because people have to plan, dude.
Like, they already told us to call our jets and not book hotels. Like, I think they did enough. I think at this point, we don't get an announcement until they know what they are doing.
Exactly.
Had I known this, I would have been there last year. The reason I took that one off was for some family stuff, but I could have pushed it if I'd known this year was, I mean, who would know this year is going to be anything like this year's being, but now I'm really bummed. Like, I really was looking forward to going back.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me.
Oh, man, don't say that. It can't be the last.
That reminds me. We missed a big piece of news this week, guys.
We did. What? Wait, what? Who? When?
Jeff Keighley's like E3 replacement, the Summer Game Fest. Blizzard has been confirmed as being involved in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, right. That's true. It's hard to say what that'll be.
Oh, yeah, we have no idea in it, but it's just weird because Blizzard, like, usually doesn't do jack for E3.
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, like, since everybody's having to do that, I'm seeing a few companies, not just them, that normally don't participate or don't have big front-facing things to do are involved in it somehow. I'm pretty curious about that.
My guess is that they will be hosting a section called "You'll Have Phones, Right?"
Well, that would be what they call it. You all have phones, right? Will be the name of it. That'll be great.
It's very possible.
They could drop that waiting, that day. They could drop that and Diablo 2 Remastered like the same week, announce it there and just have it.
I think it might be some Overwatch 2 stuff because the rumor has been for a very long time that it would be out this year.
Yeah.
Papa Jeff is fighting that rumor very strongly, so it might not be, but that might, I mean, there are so many things they could be announcing. So many things.
Well, you can't see the sarcastic smirk behind his beard right now, so you don't know if he's being serious or not. Maybe he's lying. Maybe he knows it'll be out. You never know.
And what's the over under on Keanu Reeves coming out and telling us that we're breathtaking, but please keep your breath to yourself?
Seems unlikely to me, given, unless they do it remotely. I don't think they bring him in for, well, I don't know how aren't they doing everything remotely? Like, it's all just going to be conferences and stuff with like Blizzard.
Yeah.
And,
I think it's,
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's going to be Jeff Keighley, you know, on a stage alone, announcing trailers.
Yeah. Could
might be, you know, a little bit more elaborate than his kitchens, you know, drawers.
What did they do in 2018 or 1918 when they had that Spanish flu? How did they make that work? Because we are embarrassingly,
they died.
I know that, but what I mean is, like, they don't have any of these things we're dealing with now. Like, we got all this internet, all these conferencing tools. Look what we're doing right now, which has been developing quickly over the last 20 years. Like, would have had
to be fair. Back then, they didn't have the internet before the pandemic either. Also, they had the war to occupy themselves. That was, you know, that their fun activity.
Yeah, didn't you, Chucklehead, start that? There was a French. No, that was the Germans again. Never mind.
No, the Germans. That's the Germans why again. I don't.
It was the Germans again.
I boycott German as a language, obviously.
There's a really great Norm MacDonald bit about the Germans that I don't want to repeat here because it's probably not great, but it's very funny.
So how likely do you think that for Summer Game Fest we're going to hear about either of Tom, oh my god, the names, they escaped me.
Oh,
the two devs that I'm super excited to hear about. Oh my god, why can't I remember the name?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Tom Tilton and Mumper. What's his
Mumper.
Corey Stockton.
Corey Stockton, yeah.
Corey That's Stockton. What
you
meant. Jeez.
You think we'll finally hear what they're doing, you're saying? Maybe. I mean, honestly, what better time than some digital reveal to say, hey, this mobile thing we're working on, it's been here forever. But now we can announce it.
It's not a mobile thing they're working on.
Well, that's true. That incubator isn't specific, is it? It's like they could be working on a million things.
It's going to be a cancel StarCraft simulator. You're going to manage an office that does nothing but cancel StarCraft games that Garrett is really excited about.
Hey, that seems like a a pretty good idea. I mean, they've got some experience already in it. They can just parlay that into an actual game. Boom, print money. I like it. Also, I'm with you. Quits canceling StarCraft projects, please.
Especially first-person shooter.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It sounded so good. I'm so annoyed by that. Where did he end up? I know he left after that got canceled. Now I can't think of his name.
Oh, Browder?
Yeah, Dustin Browder.
I don't believe Browder has announced where he went.
Okay. I have high hopes for his future because he's rad. That guy's great.
What if we get news from Bonfire or Second Dinner?
Ooh.
I think Second Dinner is more likely than Bonfire. I am firmly convinced Bonfire is like a fake shell organization.
I think it's just a place to spend
money.
All they
do is barbecue stuff and talk about how fun video games are.
Yeah, and hire.
They're all running a private WoW server raiding Onyxia on weekends together. That's all they do.
They hire away the best talent in the industry, and then they just
to do that
barbecue. Yeah.
That's exactly what they do. I can't wait to see what Second Dinner is doing.
What if Second Dinner does a joke video about how they're having dinner, their second dinner around a bonfire, and now they've joined forces, Bonfire and Second Dinner.
Well, that would look a lot like Team 5's announcement video of the Witchwood expansion where Ben Brode sat around a campfire and told a spooky ghost story.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I totally spaced that.
I think that was his last video like that. I think that was kind of his like expansion announcement swan song, which is fitting because it was really good.
Yeah, he probably wore plaid there as well.
Guys haven't let Jack slip. I have no idea what they're doing.
Who knows? All right, here's a quick email from listener Jason who wrote
Doing a Marvel thing. Sorry,
who is? Well, they're doing
beyond
a
that.
Thing. Yeah,
like
right. Okay,
past no that we don't know. Type of game it sure, is. We don't know anything about that. Right, just that it's Marvel licensed.
Nope, we don't. Yeah. It hasn't even been confirmed if it's like a card game or not a card game.
It seems like it would be given who went over there, but
yeah, but they just grabbed Kent Eric from the Heroes team. So like they have a pretty diverse team. Yeah. Like the initial like kind of seed of talent was from Hearthstone, but they've been grabbing up other Blizzard alums that were not involved in Hearthstone.
Maybe they're just barbecuing too. I'm just saying, you never know what they're doing over there. All right. Here's a quick email from Jason who wrote into the instance at gmail.com and says this. So after listening to Scarves talk about how the faction wars wasn't doing it for him in this expansion, I'm adding a little emphasis
on
this.
That is not what I said.
He called you Scarves, though, which is funny. Come on.
Well, okay. So I tend to appreciate his email.
He says, I think I have figured out the root of the problem. The Alliance and the Horde are just too similar. When we go to war, in theory, we are going up against evil. But both sides of this conflict aren't evil, even if there are some elements of evil within. In World War II, what Germany was doing was evil. If all of a sudden aliens started attacking, are we going to forget our war and fight the aliens together? Unlikely, he says. The Horde and the Alliance are like the United States and Canada in a war. In the end, we are all good people, at least as a whole, so the thought of prolonged conflict doesn't make any sense. As much as I love being Horde and also being the heroes, if the Horde were actually the bad guys and we only saved the world out of our need or greed, you could probably justify this faction war for as long as it has gone on. But for now, I'd rather just be cool with my Canadian buds, says Jason.
I mean, all right. First of all, if aliens attacked during World War II, I'm pretty sure we would have dropped what we were doing and fought the aliens.
Yes,
probably.
Second of all, yeah, United States versus Canada war doesn't make sense, but not for the reasons you listed, because we'd kick their butts. They'd be fools to trifle with us. USA.
Oh, man.
USA. Come on, Scott.
USA. Okay. I don't know. Toronto's cool. I think they could do it. No, I do think he's wrong about if the aliens came. Of course, I mean, if a larger threat loomed, you would stop, I think. Right? I mean, you've
literally the plot of Watchmen.
I mean, it depends. Honestly, at this point, I'm thinking if it was a bigger threat coming to the US and Democrats and Republicans had to start working together, aliens wouldn't do it. Like, I don't know what would need to happen, but that would not work. And the other thing is, I believe the takeaway from his email is he wants the Horde to be actual, literal Nazis.
That's the takeaway. Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to take away from this. That's what I've
heard. So on a serious reaction to Jason's note, Yes, you have tapped exactly into why I was so irritated by Hazakasas being like, no, we're never going to do cross-faction. It wouldn't make any sense. And I'm just like, except compared to every story you've ever told within your own world.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the idea that we can never go cross-faction in the game mechanic way, there are no real good reasons. I mean, because the world has been cross-faction for a while. This whole last expansion, we watched, you know, maybe it was a little covert, but there was a lot of buddy-buddy going on. And one before that was some serious buddy-buddy because we had to get together to beat back the freaking demons again. Like, just let us do it. Just let us, you know, let my orc decide. He's like, I've had it with my people. I'm going to go play for the other side or whatever. Just let us do it. It's fine.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
we wouldn't let you in. So,
yeah.
Listen, classic is a thing now. We can have the old way if we want it, and let's forge new paths in retail.
I agree. If you'd like to be like Jason and send an email in, you can, theinstance@gmail.com, or you can use the website, which has a form built right into it. Okay, I want to mention the following people who are Dungeon Plus members and help us out every month. These shout-outs go to Tyler Bacon. That's a great name. Will Porta, Vincent Mayer, and Will Harris. I know Will Harris. He's great. Love Will Harris. It's that Will Harris, by the way, Patrick. You know Will Harris. You're familiar with his work.
I do know Will Harris, and I am familiar with him, and I do agree that he's a great person.
Mm-hmm. He was here.
Will Porta, Vincent Mayer, and Tyler Bacon. I don't know you, but I would like to.
Especially Tyler Bacon, for reasons. I saw Will last year, and he's just the nicest dude ever. And big thanks to him and everybody in this group that I mentioned for being supporters. If you have not checked it out yet, check it out at theinstance.net. Get bonus content. After this, Garrett and I are going to record a little bonus content. It's not going to be exactly what you think. Pulling a Johnson there. So check back in if you're if you haven't checked it out and seen what these levels are. It's over at theinstance.net. It's homegrown. We made it ourselves. We're proud of it. So please support us so that we can justify it. And big thanks for all your support, those who do. Before we go, let's give you guys a chance to talk about anything going on in your world. Let's start with Garrett and Amove. Anything happening this week?
Oh, of course. We're going to have the Angry Chicken tomorrow talking about all these new Battlegrounds updates in Hearthstone. So go subscribe there. Into the Nexus, we'll be joined by Heroes of the Storm caster extraordinaire J-How on Thursday.
Nice.
Hot Slogs, as I mentioned, I don't promote that enough, so go check that over at hotslogs.com. And check out the youtube.com/arrowheadcenter. channel for my new remotely videos. I just put up a new one yesterday about what you should consider if you want to pre-record a video or do it live. I have thoughts as to why you would do one over the other.
All right, sounds good. Perfect place to do it. Also, Patrick has a bunch of things he does in multiple languages. Patrick, what can we look forward to from you?
Go check out Pixels, a show about video games where we talk about the news of games that are not necessarily from Blizzard. And I think it's pretty fun. I think you might enjoy it. So Pixels on your podcast app right now.
Nice. I also have a show about video games called Core. If you are into the overriding world of hardcore video games and you want to know more about it or listen to people talk about it, that show's on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. You can find details on that and all the other shows we do at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us. Theinstance.net is our website. Happy birthday to Leroy Jenkins and anyone else who's celebrating a 15th birthday today. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at Instance Show. You can find Patrick at Not Patrick, Garrett at Garrett Art. You can find me at Scott Johnson and the show at Instance Show, which I think I already said. You can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.